this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to begin in a moment. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning, but we're going to begin in a moment in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Amen. Thank God for His Word. His Word is the truth that makes us free. His Word is medicine to all of our flesh. Amen. His Word is profitable unto us. It feeds our spirit. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. I did a Zoom video Friday to a Bible school in Budapest, Hungary. Two sessions with Mark Six has a Bible school in Budapest, Hungary. And I did two sessions with them, Zoom sessions with them on Friday. And so this message comes out of that. It's nothing. There's only 5 minutes of this message that has to do with the 2 45-minute sessions I spoke with them. But I got to saying some things with them, and I realized here's something that I allude to all the time, that I talk about a lot in a lot of my messages, but I hadn't actually preached on this subject, you know, line upon line in about 20 years. And so I'm calling this Ours for the Taking. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ours for the Taking. Before we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, let me remind you, because I'm really looking at so many scriptures, so I'm going to remind you of some things. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Talking about the children of Israel, 1 Corinthians 10:11, this is the Amplified Bible now. It says, these things happened to them. All the things that happened to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, these things happened to them as an example and warning to us. They were written for our instruction to admonish and equip us. That's the Amplified Bible. Some translations say the things that happened to them, they happened as types. A type in the Bible is something in the Old Testament that is symbolic of a New Testament reality, a New Testament truth, or a New Testament person. Amen? It's symbolic or representative of that. For instance, Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, God's people were in bondage. They were slaves. They were bound in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. It's a type of sin. And Moses, the deliverer, came and set them free. Amen. From Egyptian bondage. And so he's a type of Jesus. Now, theologically, listen to me. Theologically, who or what the type represents is much greater or higher or more important than the type itself. Moses is a type of Jesus, but Jesus is the more important person. Amen. You follow that? The Holy Spirit is throughout the Bible in the Old Testament, water and rain is a type of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is more important than rain. See, amen? So you follow that? So the Israelites and what happens to them are types, symbolic types and examples and representations to us, given to warn us, to teach us, to instruct us, and be an example to us. Amen. Like I said a while ago, Egypt, see, they came out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. Well, thank God we came out of sin. Egypt is a type of sin. It's a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Now, specifically, these scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 are telling us not to make the mistake the first group of the Israelites that made when they came out of Egypt. See, that first bunch, when they came out, how many of you know they never went into the promised land? And he says, don't make the mistakes that they made, amen, because they never took one step into the promised land. Now, the promised land is not a type of heaven as many think it is. Now, you can read songs, especially songs, or hear songs in the hymn book, and a lot of times the promised land is portrayed as heaven. And if somebody wants to portray that in a song, then I'll sing it, and I'll rejoice, and I'll be glad, because thank God we're going to heaven. Can you say amen? But theologically and technically and rightfully, the promised land is not a type of heaven. We will fight no battles in heaven. They had to go and dispossess all those different, you know, the Canaanites and the Hittites and all those other ites that were over there. They had to fight them. They had to deal with them. We will fight no battles in heaven. Moses never went into the promised land, but thank God Moses is in heaven. We'll all see him one day. Aren't you glad? No, the promised land is a type of our rights and privileges in Christ Jesus. The promised land, you could say it this way, is a type of what belongs to us because of what Jesus did for us in redemption. Redemption is all that belongs to us because Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us. Aren't you glad? I like to say it this way, the promised land is a place where the promises of God come true in your life. The promised land is a place where the promises of God are actually fulfilled in your life. Glory to God. Now, Let me read to you Exodus chapter 3 before we look at Deuteronomy. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 7 says, "And I have seen," this is God, "and the Lord said, I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them." Aren't you glad God has delivered us? "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them into a land," bring them up from the land to a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you found, I told you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you haven't found it by now, just look on with your neighbor because you're never going to find it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 7. Just want to point out some of the things it says about the land here. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." Everybody say a good land. "A land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs that flow out of valleys of hill." Well, over and over and over again, just talking about the promised land. He talks about the abundance of rain that you'll have for your crops in the promised land. It talks about they had a lot of struggle getting water in Egypt, but you're not going to have that struggle in the promised land. No, there's brooks, amen, there's streams, the rain will come from heaven, and glory to God, the good news is this rain represents the Holy Ghost. Amen. Never take the Holy Spirit for granted. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Greater is He that's on the inside of us, the Bible says, than he that's in the world. Never take the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the ability to pray in other tongues for granted. Never take the gifts of the Spirit for granted. These things belong to us. They are promised land blessings that belong to us in the New Testament, and we ought to have them. We ought to have manifestations and anointings and giftings and movings of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Can you say amen? Thank God for that. Glory to God. So verse number 7 again says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs and that flow out of valleys and hills." Verse 8, "A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity." In other words, there'll be plenty. There'll be an abundance. "In which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full," this is amazing to me. I'm wanting you to just see it, one of the many descriptions of the promised land. But what God is going to do here is He's going to say, look, you are going to be so fulfilled in the promised land. You're going to be so happy in the promised land. You're going to be so abundantly supplied and so well taken care of. You're going to have victory over your enemies in the promised land. It's going to be so good in the promised land. You're going to be so blessed in the promised land that when all these blessings come on you, don't forget that it was God that gave you the land. Don't think that you got it, you know, yourself. No, God gave this to you. You know, from time to time, it's kind of sad, but from time to time, you'll see somebody come along and God will get them off drugs, or God will get them out of this situation or out of that situation, or get them out of a financial mess, and their marriage will be restored, and on and on and on, and they'll begin to walk with God and live for God and do better and better and better, family restored, delivered, healed, set free, and 4 or 5 years go by, and they just kind of forget that it was God that got them out of the mess they were in and kind of backslide. And that's really heartbreaking, really. But God says again, verse 10, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you." Glory to God. Let's just bless God for everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed. Thank you, Father. We bless you and praise you and thank you for everything that is ours in Christ. We thank you that you have saved us and forgiven us and delivered us and made us whole, spirit, soul, and body. We are favored. We are protected. We are blessed coming in and blessed going out. We just bless you and praise you for that right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. "When you have eaten again," verse 10, "and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you." Type of everything that's ours in Christ. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full." Does that sound like just barely get along? "When you have eaten and are full," that's plenty, that's more than enough. That's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's rich. Some people don't like that word, but rich just means you have plenty. You have an abundance. "When you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and flock multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied." Amen. Then he says, verse 17, then don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. But remember, verse 18, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers in this day. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. So the promised land is obviously a place of abundant provision. It's referred to several times as the land flowing with milk and honey. Well, anytime anybody uses that expression, milk and honey, that means, man, that's a prosperous place. That's a rich place. That's a place where you're blessed. That's a place where there's abundance provision. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you don't have to turn there, but in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 9 and 21, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 9 and 21, he tells them that long life belongs to them in the promised land. Glory to God. Amen. He tells them in verses 10, 11, and 14 that they will have plenty of rain. Thank God that we have plenty of the Holy Ghost. All the manifestations of the Spirit we need, because these things belong to us. Verse 21 says, now watch this, I like this, King James Version. People do different things with it in other translations and other versions, but I really like the King James Version here. I think there's something important to us. It says, your days in the promised land will be like days of heaven on earth. King James. Your days in the promised land will be like days of heaven upon the earth. In other words, you'll be blessed. Yes, you will face enemies, but you will defeat your enemies. When your enemy comes against you, you will defeat him. You'll be victorious in the promised land. You'll be blessed in the promised land. You'll be protected in the promised land. Amen. You'll have plenty of rain in the promised land. Glory to God. And certainly if we possess all that belongs to us because of what Jesus did for us when He died on the cross, then it's like heaven on earth. Amen. Doesn't mean you won't have tests and trials in this life, but you overcome. Glory to God. Now, God told the Israelites over and over and over and over and over again that He was giving them the land. I am giving you the land. I actually read one time, I started in Exodus and read all the way through Joshua, and I counted all the times that God says, I'm giving you the land. Now, granted, this includes the first bunch that came out and includes the times He said it to the second bunch, but still, I just want to make the time. God told them over 100 times that He was giving them the land. I'm giving you the land. Glory to God. Amen. Yet the first bunch, except for those, you know, except those under 20, those 20 and above, you know, Numbers 14, 29, except for Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit, the Bible says. That first bunch never stepped one foot into the promised land. Yet God told them over 100 times, I am giving or I have given you the land. Well, if He had given it to them, why didn't they have it? If He had given it to them and all the blessings that were attached to the promised land, then why didn't He have it? If all these blessings belong to us today, you know, healing and victory and deliverance and forgiveness and redemptive rights and, you know, then why do a lot of Christians not have them? Because God said over and over, I'm giving you the land. Glory to God. Here's a great truth. One of the greatest spiritual truths you can ever learn is this. We have to possess what God gives. If you don't possess it, if you don't take it, you know, Hebrews 11, 33, or Hebrews 11, I'm not sure, maybe 33, says we obtain the promises by faith. We have to possess what God gives. Like I said, one of the greatest spiritual truths you can ever learn. It's never ours automatically. Even though it's God's will for you to have something, if you don't possess it, you never have it. It's God's will, isn't it, that everybody be saved? God wants every sinner to be saved, but is every sinner saved? No. So we see that God's will doesn't always happen in the earth. No, we have a part to play. People have to receive what Jesus bought and paid for. And so we have to possess what God gives, and if we don't, we never possess it. God told them, listen again, so God told them over 100 times, I'm giving you the land. But He also said to them, over and over and over, for them to rise up in faith and go and possess the land that He gave them. Let me just give you a few examples of that. Just a few. Leviticus 20, 24. Amen. Leviticus 20, 24. One page at a time is taking a long time. Leviticus 20, 24. But I have said to you, this is God speaking, you shall inherit. Aren't you glad we have a land to inherit? Amen. We have a rich inheritance in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hebrews 6:12 says we inherit the promises through faith and patience. We inherit the promises. He said, but I have said to you, you shall inherit the land. I will give it to you to possess. I'm giving it to you to possess. God says, I'm giving it to you for you to go up and possess it. Amen. See, most people don't understand every answered prayer to every miracle. There's a Godward side, there's a manward side. God has done the hard part, amen, but it's up to us to possess or to receive what He gives. God says, I'm giving it to you to possess. Just one scripture, and I will, a land flowing with milk and honey. How many of you want the land flowing with milk and honey? Well, then you've got to go out and possess it. Glory to God. Then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Just a few examples. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 8. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. I've set it before you. Amen. It's yours for the taking. Yeah, but there's giants over there. Yeah, but there's walled cities over there that we can't penetrate. They don't have modern day weaponry, you know. Yeah, but there's armies over there. And if you read, you know, these passages back in the first five books of the Bible, you'll find out that God Himself said, they're greater than you. They're mightier than you. Their armies are bigger than yours. Their armies are greater than yours. But God also said, but I have given you the land and I am with you. Don't be afraid. Don't get in fear. Get your eyes off the giants. Get your eyes off the walled cities. Get your eyes off the problems and believe me and rise up and go and possess what I have given you. Amen. See, he says it's right before you. Everything that Jesus did for you is right before you. Glory to God. It's yours for the taking. See, I have set before you the land, but notice, but go in, understood subject, you go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Glory to God. Verse 21 of this same chapter, verse 1. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. The land represents everything that's ours because of Jesus. The Lord has set the land before you. It's yours for the taking. But, again, go up and possess it as the Lord your God has spoken to you. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. Glory to God. Amen. So, you know, Corinthians said we need to learn from them. Don't make the mistakes that they made. God delivered them out of sin. He delivered them out of Egypt. He delivered them out of bondage. We have been delivered, glory to God. We've been redeemed out of sin. We've come out of the world, and God, through Jesus, has set us free. Isn't that right? Amen. We've gone through the Red Sea. You know what the Red Sea is? The Red Sea is a type of water baptism. Glory to God. Crossing the Jordan River is a type of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. But we've gone through the Red Sea. Amen. But we shouldn't stop there. We shouldn't spend the rest of our lives wandering in the desert. No, God wants us to come on in into the promised land. Do you know today is Sunday, and people are having church services all around the world, and not every service, but you know what a great number of services, what's happening at a great number of church services all around the world today? Ministers and preachers are telling people how to live in the wilderness. How to live in the desert, or how to live in the wilderness, how to survive in the wilderness. And in the wilderness wasn't a horrible place. I mean, God protected them. God took care of them. But God doesn't want to teach us how to live in the wilderness. He wants to come on in to the promised land and partake of all that rightfully belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. He has blessed us, Ephesians 1:3 says, has blessed, past tense, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything Jesus redeemed us from, belongs to us right now. Victory over sin belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Abundant provision belongs to us. Deliverance belongs to us. Deliverance from any kind of oppression, mental oppression or any other kind of oppression, belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Victory over tests and trials belongs to us. We are being made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Total well-being and increase and promotion and favor belongs to us right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And just like it was God's will for them to inherit the land, it's God's will for us to inherit all that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Don't be like. Amen. You hear those old things, you know, don't be like. Well, don't be like those Christians who are continually saying, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll just have it. That's wrong. That's error. If God wants me to have it, if God wants me to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then He'll just knock me down and make me speak in other tongues. Not going to happen. Well, if I don't have it, then it must not be God's will for me to have it. That's not right. Was it God's will for them to go into the promised land? Was it His perfect will they go into the promised land? Did they go into the promised land? No, because they had a part to play. They had to go up and possess it. That's the scriptures we're looking at. So don't be like those who say, well, if God wants me to have it, then I'll have it. That's wrong. We have to possess what God gives. We have to possess what God provides. By grace are you saved through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Grace is everything that is given to us freely. Glory to God. Faith is how we just reach up and possess or take or accept what Jesus has already done for us. Glory to God. Amen. Don't ever get involved in these arguments where people want to fight about grace and faith. It's like two sides of a scissor. Which one's more important? You got to have both. Well, of course, what God did is more important, and I understand that. But on the other hand, if you don't receive it, then it never does you any good. Hallelujah. Don't be like those who say, well, if these things belong to me, then I don't have them. That way of thinking is based on wrong belief that the blessings of God are just automatically ours. Here's part of that great truth. None of what God has provided for you, none of the blessings of God that we are blessed with, none of what Jesus did for you on the cross is automatically yours. A sinner is not automatically saved. He must by faith know about it and hear about it, then accept Jesus and receive Jesus or possess Jesus or take Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Amen. I said amen. See, it's a great truth we must see. The blessings of God are not automatically ours. Even though it's God's will for us to have something, we must possess it by faith. It was clearly, everybody say clearly. Amen. It was clearly God's will for those, for His people to go into the promised land, but they had to do their part and possess it by faith. Glory to God. Now, go on reading here. Just some examples. I mean, these are just a few. There are many, many more scriptures that we're not going to have time to look at, of course. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse number 18. Then I commanded you. Now, here's God's. He's not only saying, I gave you the promised land, but I commanded you to go get it. I commanded you at the time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. God gave it for them to possess. All you men of valor shall cross over armed before your brethren and the children of Israel. Glory to God. And then chapter 9, verse 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you. Again and again, I just want you to see that God is saying, I've given the land, but it's your responsibility to go up and possess it. It's your responsibility to believe me. To believe me more than you believe your circumstances. To believe me more than you believe your feelings. If God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If God says you're more than a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. If God says you're healed, then you're healed. I don't care what anything else looks like or seems like and feels like. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I have given you. Go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then chapter 11. Read all of chapter 11 when you get a chance, because that's our main focus. Verse number 8. Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong. Yes, God is saying you're going to have to rise up in faith. I know there's challenges out there. You say, well, but it just doesn't look like I'm my needs are met. Be strong. Don't be discouraged. Don't operate in fear. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Stand up and go possess what rightfully belongs to you. that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which ye cross over to possess, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Amen. Verse 10, for the land which you go to possess, the land which you go to possess. Verse 11, but the land which you cross over to possess. Amen. You must, verse 24, I like this. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Well, if you tread upon it, in other words, if you claim it, if you lay hold to it, if you believe that it's yours, and you take it by faith, it'll be yours. But if you don't tread upon it, then it will never be yours. So again, notice that these things are not automatically ours, but they are ours for the taking. Say, they're mine for the taking. Oh, sure, we have battles to fight. But regardless of the giants, that's what people do. They just go, well, there's obstacles, there's problems. I know God told me to do this, but there's a problem. If God really told you to do it, then just rise up in faith and go do it. If God really told you you could have it, then possess it, then take it. Amen. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything keep you from getting it. Yes, you have to resist the devil. Yes, you have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. But if you'll do that, you'll experience days of heaven on earth. If something is ours for the taking, you look that up. Ours for the taking, that means it's readily available. Anything in life. If something is ours for the taking, that expression is used to mean it's obtainable. Really, it means it's easily obtainable. Look, God did the hard part. Jesus did the hard part. Amen. All we need to do is to receive what Jesus has already done. All we need to do is to love God, to love others, and receive or claim what rightfully belongs to us and what's been provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Deuteronomy 11:1, because I want to bring in some other things here. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. Yes. Yes, many, many scriptures along these lines in the Old Testament. But you know, you can't go out and live any way you want to. No, you're going to have to love God, serve God. Nobody's perfect. If you were perfect, you'd never receive anything from God. Amen. But we do need to put God first and love God and seek first the kingdom and walk in the light of the knowledge we have, walk in the light of what we know, praise God. So we need to love God and keep His charge and His statutes. So, oh my God, there's a lot of charge. No, in the New Testament, He only told us to do one thing, and that's to love one another. That's His commandment in New Testament terms. Just love God and love others. I said, just love God and love others, and then rise up and tread upon the land. That's how you take the land. You love God, you love others, and you by faith claim what rightfully belongs to you because of what Jesus did for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I like something. I just got this from, I saw this on Facebook actually, and it's something that Joel Osteen said. Because this thing of loving others, sometimes we think we're walking in love, but we're not walking in love at all, you know. I've got a new thing that I do just everywhere I go. When somebody cuts me off in traffic or somebody says something stupid, I just immediately say, I'm not offended. I want to be offended. And I use traffic a lot of times because you can just relate it to dealing with people in life. It's not, you know. You know, the other day right here on this main drag coming into town, you know, somebody just pulled right out in front of me. And then it went up about 30 yards and pulled and then left the road real quickly, you know, where both times I had to slam on brakes. My flesh rose up. I wanted to get up real close behind them. You know, you're on the interstate, you're doing 76. Dear God, the speed limit's 70, you're doing 76. And somebody just comes right up, they just get right on your bumper. And then you slow down. Well, does the Bible tell us, you know, to turn the other cheek, to not render evil for evil? That means don't retaliate. Don't pay them back. If I'm slowed down, or whatever, then I'm retaliating. Why am I retaliating? Because I was ticked off, because I was angry, because it made me mad, because I was offended. And believe me, I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, perfect in this area, but I'm working on it really hard. I saw something the other day and I thought, well, I think there's a lot of truth in this. It says, don't let offense keep you from victory? Amen. Because there's just a lot of scriptures and a lot of ways you can look at it and approach it. And I don't care if it's opening door to the devil or your prayer, but any way you look at it, if you walk in, if you don't walk in love, your prayers aren't going to work and the door is going to be open to the devil and things aren't going to work out good for you. So yes, you're going to have to walk in love. Joel Osteen said, you can't control what people do. If they want to be offensive, rude, and hard to get along with, that's their choice. Have you met somebody this week that was offensive, rude, or hard to get along with? Well, that's all. Have you met somebody this week that was either offensive, rude, or hard to get along with? But you can control how you respond. The most powerful thing you can do is to let it slide right off. Don't give it the time of day. Don't think about it. See, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, I'm thinking, I'm not offended. Somebody will say something, somebody will do something, and my flesh will rise up, but immediately I'll think, I'm not offended. I refuse to be offended. I refuse to think about this. I refuse to think about, you know, when you see somebody on the street that's done something wrong to you and you go, I don't even want to see them, and you cross the other side of the street. Jesus said, if you only greet those who love you, what more than you do than a publican or a sinner? If you are, it's not just forgiving. You know, forgiving. You ever thought about forgiving? Not forgive. You're not forgiving them any attention. You're not forgiving them any love. You're not forgiving them any whatever, appreciation or respect. Glory to God. The most powerful thing you do is let it slide right off. Don't give it the time of day. Don't think about it anymore. Don't relive it. Don't retaliate. That was me, but don't retaliate. Don't tell your friends what they said. A part of walking in love is your tongue and how you, when you talk about somebody else and it presents them in a negative light, an evil light, then scripture after scripture after scripture tells us not to do that. We think, oh, I don't have any forgiveness. I don't have any unforgiveness against anybody. Listen, I don't care how much you're walking in forgiveness. If you treat people wrong, then you're not walking in love. Don't think about it. Don't relive it. Don't tell your friends what they said. Keep your heart pure. Save your emotional energy to live this day to the fullest, to pursue your dreams, to love your family, to be good to your neighbors. Many scriptures tell us that our victory, our health, our ability to prosper, our ability to live a long time on the earth is closely tied to our love walk. So don't allow any kind of offense to rob you of victory. I'm not offended. Everybody say, I'm not offended.
I'm not offended.
I was talking to somebody just the other day, and of course this is somebody I'm close to because family member, and I'm around them a lot, and they kept, I've heard this story where they're offended, without exaggeration, 500 times. No hyperbole there, no exaggeration there, at least 500 times. And so I walked over and said to them, I'm not mad, I'm not angry, but I walked over and I looked at them, they were sitting on the couch, and I said, you're going to have to let that go. I said, if so-and-so, there was a particular preacher that they listened to all day long, every day. I said, if brother so-and-so was here, he would tell you, you're going to have to let that go. If Jesus was right here, he would tell you, you're going to have to let that go. And they looked at me, and this is what they said, but I'm not going to let it go. If we want to walk in victory, if we want to be able to claim, if we want to use our faith unhindered, if we want the door to stay shut on the devil, we're going to have to walk in love. We're going to have to be compassionate. We're going to have to not talk bad about others. We're going to have to not talk bad about others. We're going to have to not talk bad about others. We're going to have to not talk bad about others. We're never retaliate. Amen. And never forgive. Just let it go and never allow yourself to become offended. If you didn't come for church for any other reason, you came to hear that. Say it out loud, I'm not offended. Close your eyes real quick. Think about somebody that has offended you and that's bothering you a little bit or that you're tempted to be bothered, and just say out loud again. All of us are going to say it out loud. Say, I'm not offended.
I refuse to be offended.
In Jesus' name. So if you want a three-part lesson real quick as we close here, just number one, amen, how do you possess the land? Number one, love God. Walk with God. Live for God. Love God. Number two, walk in love. Treat others right. Never get offended. Amen. And number three, simply believe God's word and by faith possess what He has promised. How do you by faith take what God has promised? You do that by believing that it's yours. You believe that you can take the promised land regardless of the giants, the walled cities, and the obstacles in your way. Whatever God has told you to go take, go possess, you believe you can take it, and you rise up and you take steps toward it to do it. You believe that you are right now whatever God says you are. You believe you are healed. You believe you are forgiven. You believe you are righteous. You believe you are more than a conqueror. You believe that you can do all the. You believe that you are right now. That's what faith believes, that it has right now what God promised it. And so you say, according to the Word. You say, yeah, but I don't feel like it. This has nothing to do with feelings. This has to do with faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sight represents all of your physical senses. We don't live by senses. We don't live by mental. The Word of God says I am, so therefore I am. The Word of God says I can, so therefore I can. The Word of God says I have, so therefore I have it. I have it because the Word says. That's what faith does. See, so that's how you possess the land. That's, you know, and you're in the natural. I'm not going to give away another. I gave away a blue one last week. I told John, I said, all you have to do is reach out and, what does he have to do? All he has to do is reach out and take it. Amen. That's a green one. Yeah. Glory to God. Faith is our spiritual hand. Where we. That's all faith does. It just receives. It just receives what God gives. But how does it receive what God gives? Because it says, I don't care what it looks like, seems like, feels like, smells like. I don't care what anybody else says. I take what God said is mine, and I have it right. I'm not waiting for some emotion to change. I'm not waiting for some feeling to change. I'm not waiting for some circumstance to change. The only reason I hear the Spirit of God saying is that you don't have what you desperately need is because you're waiting for something to change when you ought to right now begin to believe and say, I have it. It's mine. According to the Word, I am healed. I am forgiven. I am delivered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's learn from the children of Israel, from their mistakes and from their victories. The first group got in fear. They got in doubt because of the giants, because of the walled cities, because of the obstacles. Yes, we have the devil to deal with. Yes, there are challenges out there. Yes, there are things that are standing in between us and some promise. But be like the second group. They rose up in faith and said, God is with us. God's Word is true. And I will believe what God's Word says. I will not doubt it. I will not be stopped. Glory to God. I will rise up. Amen. And possess what belongs to me. I will rise up. I like what verse 24 says. I will rise up and tread upon it. So refuse to fear. Refuse to doubt. But rise up in faith and tread upon all the blessings of God that belong to you in Christ Jesus. It's all there for the taking. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let's stand up together. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm possessing what God has given. If God has given it to us, then we ought to have it. If God has given it to us, then we can have it. If God has given it to us, then it's His will that we have it. Glory to God. So He says, I know, but here's this giant standing in between me and what God said. Laugh at it. Just laugh at it. Just shout. You know, you've heard this before, all of it. They shouted. They didn't wait for the walls to come down to shout. They shouted while the walls were still up. They shouted because they knew that they had the city. The wall stood in their way, but they shouted. It's pretty God saying, shout at it. Laugh at it and shout at it. Laugh at it and shout at it. Laugh at it and shout at it. Just laugh at whatever's standing in between you and what's yours. Just laugh and say, oh, I just laugh at you. I have it. It's mine. Glory to God. I'm not rejected. I'm accepted in the beloved. How can you be rejected if you've been accepted by God Himself? There's no such thing as being rejected if you're a Christian. The beloved, capital B, you're accepted in the beloved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Say, but it's a big giant. It's cancer. Just laugh at it. Cancer's not the big C. Christ is. I know. I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just laugh at it. Just shout because you're already victorious. Just shout and say, it's mine. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just praise God and shout and rejoice and give Him thanksgiving. Give Him thanksgiving that your joints are loose this morning. Give Him thanksgiving that you're pain-free in your body. Praise Him and thank Him that you're pain-free. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, this has been big on me all week long. You need to praise God that you are right now pain-free. According to the Word of God, I'm pain-free. I'm pain-free. I'm pain-free. I'm pain-free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. I refuse to be bound by neck pain and joint pain and elbow pain and arm pain and wrist pain and finger pain and pain in my feet and pain in my knees and pain in my hips. My joints are loosed. I'm healed. I'm whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Ha, 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 ha. I'm the devil. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Jesus set me free. I'm not going to operate in fear. I'm going to rise up and tread upon the promise. I claim what rightfully belongs to me in Jesus' name. And you see, it's part of your job, Jacob, in ministering to others, to go out and explain to them. You don't have it because you never took it. You've got to possess what God gives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. It's all there for the taking. Say it out loud. Say, I take by faith. Everything that it rightfully belongs to me because of what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for it, Father. It's mine now. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I have what God says I have. I'm not trying to get it. According to the Word of God, it's mine now. Now laugh and rejoice and thank God that is so. Ha ha. Hey, thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, I want every single person is going to walk out of this building this morning with absolutely no offense against anybody. If that's you already, just lift your hand and say, thank God that's me. I don't have any offense against anybody. I refuse to hold anything against anybody. I refuse to hold aught. Aught means any little thing. Any middle-sized thing, any big thing. I refuse to hold aught against anybody. Glory to God. Therefore, the devil has no place in my life. No doors open to the devil. I'm walking in faith, so I'm not walking in fear. I'm walking in love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like we ought to do something here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Soda laba da da sada laba do. Somebody says, well, that looked foolish. Well, marching around a walled city looked pretty foolish, didn't it? I promise you, she doesn't have any mental problems, no psychological problems. She's happy and fulfilled. And you better hope you're as healthy as she is when you're that age. Glory to God. Wow, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, setele veba kodozo.
Hallelujah. Just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, possess, possess, possess. Confess, confess, confess. And be blessed, blessed, blessed.
I like it. Whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Confess, confess, confess. Be blessed. No, no, wait a minute. Let's do it again. Confess, confess, confess.
Possess.
Confess, confess, confess. And be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Amen. Of course, the greatest blessing you can ever receive is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I know that apart from Jesus, I am not right with you. And I can never be right with you through my own self-struggling efforts, through the flesh, through trying to be good enough. But I accept you by faith. I take you. You've already provided salvation for me, and I take you as my Lord and Savior right now. You just take Him. See, the believe in the Bible, the word believe means to take. Not its definition, but the way it's used, it means to take. Faith is a taker. You take it. Well, if you take it, it's yours. If it's not yours, then you never took it. I take you as my Lord and Savior. Everybody say that together. Say, I take you, as my Lord and Savior. And then just simply, if you believe that, say, I am saved.
I am saved.
Glory to God. If you need forgiveness as a believer, 1 John 1:9 says, if we, believers, confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for making any mistakes, for doing something that's wrong. Amen. For living in these things, practicing these things. I confess my sin. I turn from them. I repent from them. I ask you to forgive me. And I believe that you do right now. See, you believe that He forgives you. When you believe that He forgives you, you're forgiven. I take forgiveness, and I believe that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness right now in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Say it again. Possess, possess, possess. Confess, confess, confess. Be blessed, blessed, blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get blessed. You're looking at a happy man. You're looking at a blessed man. You're looking at a fulfilled man. You're looking at a satisfied man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I can shout about that for the rest of my life, even if I didn't have anything else. But thank God I do have other things. I have all that Jesus provided for me. And I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. Praise God. All because of Jesus. So as we go this morning, turn to three people. Turn to two people. I'm going to make it easy. Turn to two people and say, I'm blessed. And you're dismissed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.